This sermon is titled The Holy Anointing Oil, Anointing of the Holy Spirit, Part 7. Be enriched as you listen.
All right, are you ready to spend some time in God's Word? Whether you like it or not, we're going to do it. All right, so the last several Sundays, we've been talking about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Today is going to be our last message in this series, talking about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Like I've been mentioning, there's a lot more. We're putting it all in a book, and that'll come out, and there'll be a lot more to learn and discover. But what I want to address today in this message is to help us understand our role in the release of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. In almost all the other sermons, the previous sermons, we've been talking about what the anointing can do, will do amongst us. We're focused on this is what the anointing can cause to take place, and we've emphasized that. But the Bible does teach us that we are co-workers with God. I mean, it's not like you and I sit back, relax, enjoy the ride, and God does everything for us. We are co-workers, which means we have a part to play in the release, in the expression, in the manifestation, in the operation of the anointing. Because God anoints people, anoints us. And so the anointing is expressed through us. And so we want to understand, at least in part, it's not a complete message, but in part, what is our side, what is our responsibility in the flow and the expression of the anointed? And for this, and this is answering that question only in part, the other part will be in the book. We don't have time to cover all of it. But in answering this question, we're going to look into the Old Testament quite a bit today. And there's going to be a lot of symbolism that we're going to use in trying to understand this. And so I want you to join me in this journey. But let's begin, first of all, by emphasizing the fact that when you are anointed, you're also empowered. When you're anointed, you are empowered. Psalm 89, verses 20 and 21, God says this, Psalm 89, verses 20 and 21. God says, I have found my servant David. With my holy oil, I have anointed him. With whom my hand shall be established, also my arm shall strengthen him. So God says, I found David. Now, David was a very ordinary person. He was just a shepherd boy. Because I found him. And I've anointed him with my holy oil. And what happens now to David? He's anointed, so now God's hand is supporting him. God's hand is empowering him. So now that ordinary shepherd boy has become an anointed person, and now the hand of God is empowering him, strengthening him. Amen? That's what God does to you and me. We're ordinary people, but he calls us, he anoints us, and then he empowers us. So when we are anointed, we are empowered by God. Amen? The other thing I want to just zero in on is on God says, with my holy oil, I have anointed. With my holy oil, I have anointed him. So today, we're going to spend some time looking into the holy oil and trying to understand certain things, and especially in answering this question, what role do we have to play in seeing the anointing of God released and expressed here on earth? To begin with, I want us to look at Zechariah chapter 4, where we read about olive trees as anointed ones. Olive trees as anointed ones. In Zechariah chapter 4. Now, Zechariah chapter 4 is a very familiar chapter for us because we always hear that verse, Zechariah 4:6. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. We hear that verse often. We all get excited. Yeah, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by the Holy Spirit. But there's an amazing context around that in which that verse is given in chapter 4, Zechariah. Now, what's the context? God's people, the Jews, have come back to Jerusalem after their 70 years of exile in Babylon. They're back in Jerusalem. And they have an assignment. They have to, one of the first things they want to do is they want to rebuild the temple. That temple was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. They want to rebuild that. And at that time, they have two leaders. There's a governor whose name is Zerubbabel. And there is a priest, Joshua, leading this effort to rebuild the temple, leading the people to rebuild the temple. And Zechariah, along with Haggai, the other prophet, were prophets who were encouraging the people. They were prophesying, encouraging this work to rebuild the temple. So in Zechariah chapter 4, Zechariah has a vision. I'm just describing what he sees. He sees two olive trees. And there are these branches from these olive trees. And these branches, from these branches of these olive trees, are golden tubes that flow into the lampstand, the menorah, which is, you know, the seven-pronged lampstand. So he sees this vision. What's it? Two olive trees standing before God. There's his lampstand. And there is oil coming from the olive trees into the lampstand. Of course, the lampstand needs oil to be lit and to give light. Now, the lampstand was part of the tabernacle or the temple. It kept in the holy place where it gave light. There for the priest to go and do his work. It represented God's light, God's people being light and so on. But this is the vision. I'll repeat again. Two olive trees, tall olive trees standing before God. Branches coming out of it. From the branch, golden tubes coming to the lampstand. The oil is flowing through it. Coming into the lamp, collecting into the lampstand for it to give light. So let's read some verses there from Zechariah 4, 11 to 14. Then I answered and said to him, what are these two olive trees at the right of the lampstand and at its left? So he's saying, what are these trees standing there? And I further answered and said to him, what are these two olive branches that drip into the receptacles of the two gold pipes from which the golden oil drains? Then he answered and said to me, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. So he's having a conversation. Don't you know what these olive trees are? I said, I don't know what these olive trees are. But look at verse 14. So he said, these are the two anointed ones who stand beside the Lord of the whole earth. What are those olive trees? They are the two anointed ones, referring to Zerubbabel, the governor, and Joshua, the priest. So in the context of what was happening, these two leaders were represented by two olive trees. I mean, these anointed ones. Don't worry about leaders. Think about them as anointed people. That these anointed people were represented by two olive trees. And from them, through golden tubes, gold in the Bible represents what is divine, divinity. Right? So we're going to do a little bit of biblical symbol, not made up, biblical symbolism, right? What is in the Bible, right? So in biblical symbolism, gold represents God, divinity. Why? Because you find always, especially in the tabernacle, in the most holy place, the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, that it was all overlaid with gold, made of gold. So gold represents divinity. So there are golden tubes coming from these olive trees that are delivering the olive oil from these trees into the lampstand, representing that God's gifts and graces from these anointed ones delivers the olive oil. But keep this thought in mind. Anointed people are represented by olive trees. So olive trees are symbolic of anointed people. You all with me? You know, got lost in the jungle somewhere? You're still on this olive trees, anointed people, very simple. Now, the other thing we want to look at is the holy anointing oil. The holy anointing oil. God doesn't do things at random. He doesn't wake up one morning and says, do this. There is intentionality in everything God does. So in the Old Testament, God gave clear instructions on how about the composition of this holy anointing oil. Clear instructions. This is how you make that oil, which you're going to anoint whatever was in the tabernacle, and it's that oil that you're going to anoint the priests so that they can be then set apart to serve me. So we're going to look into it. But as we talk about tabernacle and priests, remember, in the New Testament, you are the temple of God. And you, each one of us, are priests of God. So don't just think, oh, it was for them. Think it was given to them, but it has significance and meaning for me, for you, for all of us today. So let's read this in Exodus chapter 30, verses 22 to 33, about the composition of that holy anointing oil. Moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, Exodus 30, verse 22. Moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, also take for yourself quality spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh. What's the first component? Myrrh, liquid myrrh. Half as much sweet smelling cinnamon, 250 shekels. 250 shekels of sweet smelling cane, verse 24, 500 shekels of cassia, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil. And you shall make from these a holy anointing oil, an ointment compounded according to the art of the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. So if you look at it closely, there were five components to this holy anointing oil. There was olive oil, of course, which was the base. And there were four other things. There was myrrh, cinnamon, cane, and cassia. Put these together. And you mix it nicely together. And you make the holy anointing oil. And then, verse 26. With it, you shall anoint the tabernacle of meeting and the ark of the testimony, the table and all its utensils, the lampstand and its utensils, and the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, the laver and its base. You shall consecrate them that they may be most holy. Whatever touches them must be holy. And you shall, verse 30, and you shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may minister to me as priests. And you shall speak to the children of Israel saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil to me throughout your generations. It shall not be poured on man's flesh. That means don't make deodorants out of it. This is sacred. Not for ordinary use. It shall not be put on man's flesh, nor shall you make any other like it. according to its composition. It is holy, and it shall be holy to you. Whoever compounds any like it, or whoever puts any of it on an outsider, shall be cut off from his people. This is serious stuff. So God is saying, you make this holy oil according to what I've given you. Anoint everything in the tabernacle with this oil. Everything. All the utensils. That means everything that is to be used in the service of God must be anointed by God. You agree with me? And he said, everything that gets anointed becomes consecrated. It becomes holy to God. You anoint it. If it's going to be used in the tabernacle, it has to be anointed with this holy oil. And when it's anointed, it becomes consecrated. That means whoever touches it, they must be holy to touch it. And anoint Aaron and his priests and his sons. They were the priests. Anoint them so that they can serve me in the tabernacle. And when they are anointed, they are now consecrated to serve God. Are you with me? Right? So we're going to draw some insights from all of this, right? Just explaining now. Another interesting chapter is Leviticus 8, which details how the anointing of the priests had to be done. Leviticus chapter 8. The anointing the priests, Aaron and his sons. How it had to be done. And I'll just summarize this chapter. For Aaron and his sons, the priests, to serve in the tabernacle, to serve before God, this is how they had to do it. They had to wear holy garments. Holy garments. Then, before you can anoint them with the holy anointing oil, you have to first apply the blood. So there was the blood of the consecration ram, Moses had to kill, collect the blood, and he had to apply the blood on the right ear, the right thumb, and the right toe. Were you listening? Where had the blood to be applied? Right ear, right thumb, right toe. God, why? I don't know. But it must mean something. God very specifically said, before you can anoint them with oil, the blood has to be applied. And the blood had to be applied to their right ear, right thumb, right toe. What does it mean? Everything you hear, your hearing is cleansed. Your doing, your work is cleansed. Your going, your feet is cleansed with the blood. This is in Leviticus chapter 8. I'm just summarizing it for us. After the blood is applied, then you anoint them with oil. This holy anointing oil. So today you and I are priests of God. We consecrate ourselves before God. The blood is applied on our lives. And God is specifically saying, your hearing, your doing, your going. Let it be cleansed by the blood. Then the holy anointing oil is used to anoint. Are you listening? Now, I'm going to do something that I don't like to do too often. And I don't like to listen to these kinds of sermons where there's a lot of symbolism. That means you're saying this means that. Why? Because anybody can say anything they want, you know. But So we have to be very careful when we're doing symbolism. So I'm going to share these things, but what I want you to be assured of is we're going to use biblical symbolism. That means I'm not making it up and saying it represents that. No, I'm saying this represents this in the Bible. We're staying within the confines of the Bible. You're not going down the footpath. You know, they sell some books, astrology, hand, what does it mean? You're not doing that. We're staying in the Bible. We're staying biblical symbolism, both in scripture and what was understood in Bible times, in the context of the people that God was speaking to. That's very important. So, remember we began with this comparison. Anointed people are represented by olive trees. The oil comes from them, through them. Comes from God, but through them. But how does the oil come? That's interesting. Because the olive oil, there is, so now we're going to look at the extraction process and the composition of the holy anointing oil. And we're going to use biblical symbolism here. The olive oil, how did they get the olive oil? So the fruit of the olive trees, the olives, they waited usually for it to ripen. And they would shake the tree so these fruits will fall, or they would pluck it from the tree. But there was an extraction process. First, these olives had to be crushed. Then they would stack these in sacks and pressed together. When they were pressed together, they collected a mixture of oil and water. It was not oil, it was a mixture. And they had to wait for it to settle. And then the oil would rise to the top. And God instructed, the first oil that you get, take that and use only that to make the holy anointing oil. So there was the crushing, there was the pressing, then there was a settling down, and the oil that rose up to the top first, take that and use it for the anointing oil. Oil would come later on, but that was not as pure as the oil that came first. So the oil that came later, they would use it for cooking and other purposes. But to make the holy anointing oil, God said very clearly, use the first oil that comes to the top. So, the Bible doesn't say God will crush you, press you, and settle you. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, to get the oil, there's a process. And God will take us through that process. The oil comes from Him, but we are the conduits. We are the olive trees. We are the people through whom the oil is released. The oil is the Holy Spirit, but it's released through us, which means God will take us through a process in order for the oil to be released through us. Are you with me? It just doesn't flow randomly. There's a process through which the oil is extracted. And God said, it's the first oil that I want, the pure oil. And that was used to make the holy anointing oil. Now let's look into the details of the holy anointing oil. Like we said, there were five ingredients. What do these represent? Why did God choose these five things? He could have done something else. He could have made six, seven, I don't know. But He chose this five. Very specific. We read it, Exodus chapter 30. What do these mean for us? Number one, of course we know, the olive oil represents the presence of the Holy Spirit. It comes from God. But what we have said is, there is a process for it to be released through us. We go through, the olives went through, the crushing, the pressing, and the settling. It just didn't come like that. So there's a process for the oil to be released. Let's go through the ingredients, the composition. Myrrh. What does myrrh represent in the Bible? And in the sermon notes, I've given cross-references, so you can read it. We may not have time to read all of that. But in the Bible, we see that myrrh was one of the gifts brought to Jesus. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We also see that on the cross, Jesus offered myrrh mixed with wine to numb his pain. We also see that myrrh was used for his burial. So myrrh represents the suffering and sacrifice. In the Bible, it's associated with that. And myrrh, interestingly, in the Bible, in Scripture, is also associated with intimacy. It's used in the Song of Solomon, talking about intimacy. So, using biblical symbolism, myrrh represents suffering, sacrifice, and intimacy. Third ingredient, sweet cinnamon. Again, using what was understood in Bible times, and I've given the references in the sermon notes. Don't have time to say it here. Cinnamon represented a holy life devoted to God. That was pleasing to him. So it represents righteousness, holiness, and a passion, fervor for God, zeal for God. Cinnamon. It was highly valued, and it was associated with spiritual zeal and passion for God. So there is righteousness and holiness, and there is zeal and fervor for God represented by the cinnamon. The sweet calamus, or the aromatic cane, again, it's used many times in Scripture. It's used as part of a sacrifice. Now, this cane, it grew straight and tall in marshy places. This cane. It grew in marshy land all around it, but it grew straight and tall. And so, according to biblical context, it symbolized integrity and uprightness and the sweetness of humility. So integrity and humility is what the cane symbolized. There are some scripture references, and we are also using biblical context here. Number five, the last one, cassia. It was a plant, the cassia plant. It grew by bending low. So it's kind of a plant bent low. And that represented submission and meekness. And it was also used, you can see in the Bible, as priestly perfume. Priests wore perfume. It's okay. Side notes. The garments were scented. It's one of the things he used. It's a priestly, talking about worship. So, the holy anointing oil. The base is olive oil, representing the Holy Spirit. But God said, you got to put this in. The combination of these ingredients, what do we see? There's suffering and sacrifice. Now, I'm not saying suffering and sacrifice means, God, I have headache, stomachache. I'm talking about you and I taking on something for the sake of God's kingdom. Sacrifice. Enduring something. And intimacy, represented by myrrh. Righteousness, holiness, and a passion for God, represented by cinnamon. Integrity and humility, represented by the calamus cane, sweet cane. Submission and worship, represented by cassia. All of these go into that holy anointing oil. Are you understanding this? That's what made this up. Made up that holy anointing oil. Worship team, please come. So, I want to place two things before us. Number one, God provides the oil. Comes from Him. But we partake of the process and we provide the ingredients. Amen? God provides the oil. The olive oil, it represents the anointing. It comes, the Holy Spirit, it comes from Him. But it's got to come through the olive tree. It's got to come through the anointed ones, the people. And they have to go through a process for the oil to come forth. God provides the oil. But we provide, we partake, we participate in the process. And we provide these ingredients of suffering, of sacrifice, of sweetness, of intimacy with God, of righteousness and holiness, of passion for God, of integrity, of humility, of submission, of worship. We provide that. Amen? You and I are the anointed ones. But what is our role in seeing the anointing of God released on the earth? This is it. And God said, this holy anointing oil, it's so holy. Don't just use it for ordinary purpose. Don't put it on man's flesh. It's sacred. Whatever is anointed gets consecrated. It's for God. I want to close with this thought. Fresh oil. You and I are called to have fresh oil. Now, we know that sometimes oil can get stale, rancid, smells bad, sticky. Don't want to use it. Nobody likes oil that's gone bad, rancid oil. They don't want that. And so the call for you and me as anointed people is to have fresh oil. Not yesterday's oil. Not day before yesterday's oil. Fresh oil. And that's what God does for us. Psalmist David, he said, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. So God anoints us with oil, fresh oil. We need that every day. Fresh oil, fresh oil, fresh oil. There's a beautiful verse in Psalm 92 verse 10. Psalm 92 verse 10. Let's read it out together, please. But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. Let's read again. But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. Now there's a lot of symbolism here. We don't have horns, literally. But horns in the Bible symbolizing in this context strength. You've made me strong like a wild ox. How? You anointed me with fresh oil. It's what we began with in Psalm 89. We're closing with the same thing, just put it in a different way. You and I can have the strength of a wild ox, meaning keep strong, stay strong. How? And we are anointed with fresh oil. Fresh oil. Not yesterday's oil. Thank God for yesterday's oil. It served its purpose yesterday. But we need fresh oil. And we can have fresh oil because he said, you've anointed me with fresh oil. Daily, he anoints my head with oil. But here's what I want to present to us. That as we participate in an ongoing way in this process, and as we in an ongoing way present these ingredients to be anointed with fresh oil, we maintain these. The suffering, the sacrifice, the sweetness of intimacy, the righteousness, the holiness, the passion for God, the integrity, the uprightness, the humility, the submission, worship. We maintain that. And he anoints us with fresh oil. Amen. So in the Bible, the secrets are there already. That holy anointing oil. What makes it up? What goes into it? It's there already. And you and I can maintain our strength like a wild ox. Maybe you're 40. Some of us are like, God, I don't even have the strength of a wild ox. So, come on, get anointed with some fresh oil. Amen. Maybe you're 50. Get anointed with fresh oil and be strong like a wild ox. Maybe you're 60. Maybe you're 70. Maybe you're 80. Maintain the strength of a wild ox. Be anointed with fresh oil. Amen. And he's told us, now you bring these in, be a part of the process. Let God take you through. I don't know what it means for you, for me, for each one of us. It may mean something, but there's a crushing, there's a pressing, there's a settling, and then the pure oil comes. And that's what is used for the anointing. And in that anointing, in that holy anointing oil, there are these essential ingredients, and I'm repeating here, of suffering, of sacrifice, of sweetness, of intimacy with God, of righteousness and holiness, of passion for God, of integrity and uprightness and humility before God, of submission and worship. And as we maintain this, we have fresh oil, and strength like a wild ox. Let's stand to our feet, please. Would you pray and say, Lord, I want fresh oil. But I'm willing. To do what you told me I need to do. Amen. We are co-workers with God. Of course, the anointing comes from him. But there's a part you and I have. As olive trees, there's a process through which the pure oil comes. It doesn't just happen by itself. God said, this is how you make the holy anointing oil. It has meaning for us. Can you pray and say, Lord, I want to be part of this. Anoint me with fresh oil, with the holy anointing oil. May that anointing oil flow through my life. Flow into the the lampstand. In the New Testament, the lampstand represents the church, churches. Revelation 1, 2. Every local church was represented by a lampstand. The oil flows through the people into that. So let's pray. So Father, this morning, however you wish, Lord, to bring that holy anointing oil, to release that holy anointing oil through each of us. We yield ourselves, Father, to your process. We yield ourselves, Lord, to your preparation, your work, so that the oil can flow, the pure oil. And God, we offer up what we can do, Lord. Our sacrifice, the intimacy we pursue with you, holiness and righteousness, humility, our submission to God, our worship, we offer it up to you, God. So that we can be anointed with holy oil, with your holy anointing oil, and be a part of this process. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Would you pray and say, God, anoint me with your holy anointing oil. The holy anointing oil. I know it's a sacred thing, God. It's not to be treated lightly. God considers this very sacred. For him to put his Holy Spirit upon us, it's a sacred thing. It's a holy thing. That's his holy anointing oil. Father, in this place this morning, those watching online, as we ask you, God, that you would anoint each of us with your holy anointing oil. Oh God, help us understand the seriousness, the sacredness of this. That whatever is anointed becomes consecrated. It's unto the Lord. Maybe hold your anointing with that deep sacredness. We are a people who are consecrated to God. That we are vessels set apart for God. Vessels of honor. Right where you are standing, but you just talk to the Lord and say, yes, God, I'll be that holy vessel. I'll be that consecrated vessel. No more playing with sin. No more defiling myself. I'm a consecrated vessel because you're anointed. The holy anointing oil is on your life. And Father, because of your holy anointing oil upon each one of us right now, let there be an increase in our level of consecration. This morning, we're going into a deeper level of consecration to God. There are areas of our lives that are coming, that God is bringing us in to greater consecration. Because there's a holy anointing oil on you, the Holy Spirit. If the Lord is separating you from things, separating you things from things that would defile, that would compromise, that would in any way corrupt the sacredness of who you are, a holy vessel, embrace what He is doing. Embrace it. Say, okay, God, I receive it. I consecrate myself to you today. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Father, we just pray that as we journey from here, that let the precious anointing that you put upon our lives, put within our lives, flow freely to bless others around us. Let those rivers flow. That we'll take joy that we could be consecrated to you so that others could be blessed. That we will take joy in our consecration because we know rivers will flow to bless other people. We thank you. Thank you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the sweet fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with each of us always in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We trust this message was a blessing to you. For more free resources, including sermons, sermon notes, and books, please visit apcwo.org. For information on APC Bible College in Bangalore, visit apcbiblecollege.org. Do remember to download the All People's Church Bangalore app from the Apple or Google Play Store.